The Bible is full of different, what would be called, types of Christ. I love these. I love to preach them. There's an author, I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Pink. And he's written a book of all the different types of Christ. As a matter of fact, he has more in his book than I think the Bible has. But it's an interesting book. And there's different types of Christ. One would be Noah's Ark. As a matter of fact, those who were in the ark, they were saved from the judgment to come outside the ark. And the ark is a type of Christ. When we are in Christ, we are saved from the judgment to come. There's the Passover lamb. And we sing the song, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And it's the type of Christ we see here. It's through his blood that we have been redeemed and we are saved because of that. There's the bronze serpent in the wilderness. And those who were bitten by the fiery serpent, I've done a lot of study on serpents. I know a lot about them. They creep me out like crazy. And I don't even want a garden snake on me. But I think it might have been the black mamba who can. So it's the fastest land serpent on the ground. It bites you and just within 20 to 30 minutes, you're a goner. And they lift up in the middle of the city or the village, the bronze serpent. And anyone by faith who would look upon that would be healed. Jesus said, as a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted. It's a type of Christ. There's the city of refuge. It's a type of Christ. Those who had accidentally killed someone, a manslaughter, perhaps by an accident, and there was vengeance of the family who wanted to do harm to that person, they could go into the city of refuge and spend their life and live there the rest of their life. And those who would do ill to them were not able to reach them. And Jesus is our city of refuge. Amen. The devil cannot reach us. The harm cannot reach us. There's the rock in the wilderness. Jesus Christ is that once smitten rock. And we know Moses, he destroyed the picture of that. And because of his disobedience, he did not enter into the promised land. But we see Jesus as the rock. And this morning, I'm thrilled to speak to you about Jesus, who is our living manna. We read here in John chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now, let me tell you what that is. That's everlasting, eternal life in heaven, and there's no way that we lose that. We don't walk out of his hand. We're forever saved. I was born into Paul and to Faye Savage's family. I am their son. Their blood runs through my veins. And no matter what I do, I'm still their son. Now, I can hurt my relationship with them. Amen. I mean, they may get sick when they see me coming. They may have a Thanksgiving dinner, and we may be at odds at that time. But there's nothing that can put me out of sonship. And I want you to know, when we get born again, we become the sons of God. Amen. And we have this eternal life. He says in verse 48, "I am that bread of life." I don't think the word "that" is there by accident. There's only one, isn't there? There's not many. Just as he is the way, the truth, and the life, there's not many ways. There's not a lot of truths. There's not many lives. He's all of that, and he is that bread. And he says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." It sustained them in the wilderness for that day. But Jesus says, "This bread that comes down from heaven," in verse 50, he says that if a man may eat thereof and not die, he is that living bread. He said, "I am the living bread," verse 51, "that came down from heaven." Now, there could be no doubt about it that the manna is being a type of the character and the type of the mission of who Jesus Christ is. Just as the manna came down from heaven, Jesus, the bread of life, he came down from heaven as well. And we see that the Lord's own authority by believing this is so. Manna is the beautiful type of Christ. Jesus Christ is our living manna. Notice several things here. First of all, let me say that like Christ, manna was greatly needed. I've been to the wilderness there, and I think that many times when we in America think of wilderness, we think of forest, and we think of maybe like the mountain range and like the Smoky Mountains and the denseness of that. It is nothing like that. It is the wilderness is it's hills and plains and mountains and dirt. There's nothing that can live out there short of reptiles and scorpions and things like that. There's no way we could live out there. As we passed through the wilderness, as we were going up from the Red Sea up to the Sea of Galilee, I looked out there and I thought, man, I wouldn't last 3 days out there. And yet we see that Moses, by the direction of the Lord, God, he led 3.5 million Jews out through there, and God sustained them. How did he sustain them? He gave them manna. It's much needed. He says in verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. The children of Israel were ready to perish for a lack of food, for lack of bread. There is no help for them in the wilderness. If you saw the wilderness that we experienced, you would know too. The blazing hot during the day. And all the wild animals, creatures that could bring great damage. It was so within the world before Christ came to us that we needed a Savior. We had a great need. And just as the children of Israel needed bread, we need a Savior. There's a great hunger in the hearts of men for true bread. And this world has its own bread, doesn't it? We've all tasted the bread of the world, but it never satisfies. It never does. We can eat the bread of the world, and we think it's just the best thing, and it's going to make us happy. It's going to bring us contentment to us. It's going to satisfy. But it never, the world never does that. The world is great about screaming out at us. The world is great about flashing its lights to us, but it never delivers what it says it will do. There is a great hunger in the hearts of man for true bread. And the world needs the Lord Jesus Christ because he is that bread of life. So just like manna was needed, Jesus Christ is needed. That's what your cousin needs. That's what your brother needs. That's what that co-worker that you know that's without God and without joy, that's what he needs. Jesus Christ is the need of this world. Now, the man doesn't matter who you are, if you're over in China or if you're over in New Guinea or if you're over at the Australia or wherever you may be, let me say that Jesus Christ is the need, and he meets the needs in men. Not only was like Christ, manna was needed, but like Christ, manna was a gift from God. This is always has fascinated me. But he says in verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The manna was not and could not be grown. They did not have a field out there. All right, let's put the manna seeds in, and in a few days we'll have manna come up. It's not like that. I thank God that we can do things like that. I sure thank God for okra. Okra is a wonderful thing. If you don't like okra, you must not be saved. And there's just no doubt about it. Say, Pastor, how do you like your okra? I like okra. I like it fried. I like it pickled. I like it boiled. I think with some ranch dressing, I could eat it raw. And maybe not. But I like okra. And it's like the, I saw some faces. Let me help you. I like grits, too. And it's like the fellow who was talking to the Yankee and said, why don't you order some grits? He says, I don't like grits. He says, well, you ought to try them. He says, I don't like grits. He says, well, have you ever tried them? No, I've never tried them. Well, how do you know you don't like them until you try them? And he says, I just know I won't like them. Just try them. He says, well, to make you be quiet, just I'll try it. Give me two of them. And understand that they could not grow the manna. They couldn't do it. Salvation cannot be made man-made either, nor can man create a Savior. There are those who try out in the darkest jungles. You'll see where that man acknowledges that there's a superior being. There's someone who's put together all of this the galaxies and the stars and the planets and the earth, and he nature itself reveals to the naked savage in the darkest jungle that there is a creator, and that's why he hooms out a god of his own out of wood or makes one out of stone. He there's a longing within him to know God. Because the creation has revealed God unto him, so he tries to make his God. But just as we cannot make God, they could not make manna. All that the world could give to the Lord Jesus Christ was grief. All the world could give the Lord Jesus Christ was rejection. All the world could give to the Lord Jesus Christ was sorrow. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, the Bible says. And eventually, the world gave him the old rugged cross. God loved the world so, and I think I would be amiss if I did not share this verse. I never get tired of sharing it. John 3:16. Oh, thank God for it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you may be here today and say, oh, I learned that when I was in second grade. I don't know how old I was when I learned that. I was probably at least ninth grade or tenth grade. But I know this, it sure is precious to me. And I believe what it says. I believe that God loves us, don't you? He loves the world. I don't think there's one person in the world that God doesn't love. That he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son Jesus for, you know, to the world. I don't think there's anybody that's excluded. I don't think there's not one person that's excluded from the invitation. If I know my Bible, because it says that whosoever believeth, it's to whosoever, hallelujah for that, in him should not perish. I want you to know there are people who will perish because they are not in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here, it says, but shall have everlasting life. That's a continual life, a never ending life, an eternal life in heaven. So the manna in the wilderness is like Christ. It was not deserved. These people were grumbling people. These people were discontent people. These people, they wanted meat. And farther down in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, you'll see where they were grumbling and they were griping and they were complaining about the manna. But we see that the manna was a gift from heaven, and it shows the endless mercy of God to us. And that's who Jesus Christ is. He is a gift of endless mercy and grace to us. We need never forget that. We see that like Christ, manna was needed. Like Christ, manna was a gift from God. But let me say that like Christ, manna was satisfying. The Bible says in verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. The manna was exactly suited for the needs of man. It wasn't anything that was wild that had to be cleaned or it came down. It was suited for men. The manna met all the cravings of hunger. When it was eaten, the cravings of hunger dissipated. The manna was prepared by God for a specific and very, very special purpose. And just as the manna, the only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one God. There's only one Savior. Let me tell you His name. His name is Jesus Christ. And it's appointed by God to meet all the needs of that destitute soul. It doesn't matter if they're in a loony pen. It doesn't matter if they're in a rehab hospital. It doesn't matter if they live on the street and live in the back alleys. It doesn't matter what the condition they are in. It does not matter what they have done, where they have been. It doesn't matter who they are. I want you to know Jesus Christ is suitable for the lost soul. The one is divinely appointed. He is the remedy for all the others. It's interesting, but the manna was for the wilderness. And that bread of life, Jesus Christ, is for the lost world. Not only was the manna like Christ, does he satisfy. And by the way, we sang that hymn, He Satisfies Our Soul. Doesn't he satisfy? Man, the world's missing out on that. Man, the world, they're out boot scooting, and the world is out, and they're drinking and carousing. The world is out. They get all prepared. You know, there are people who live for a weekend of boozing and just hell raising. And they think that's really life. But I want to tell you something. It's sad to me because life is so much better. And life begins when you're introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, let me say that Christ's manna was within the reach of all people. I don't know what the Calvinist does with this. The Calvinist destroys this part of the type of Christ. But he says in verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. The manna didn't fall in the treetops. The manna didn't fall in areas that it could not be attained. The manna fell upon the ground, and it was quite within the grasp of every soul in the camp. There are those who want to teach and say that because of the doctrine of election, God only chooses a select few to go to heaven. You won't ever find that. You'll never find that in the Bible. You'll have to read some supplement to get that. You'll have to read Calvin. You'll have to read Augustine, who Calvin stole it from. You'll have to read today John Piper. You'll have to, he has on his webpage, he's a 5-point Calvinist. He's a full-blown tulip. And let me tell you, he's not a tulip, he's a daisy. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. That is not the God of this Bible. And we see here that the manna, it didn't fall in faraway places and treetops, and it fell on the ground, and it was very easily within the grasp of every soul in the camp. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And they began to be griping and complaining." Well, I tell you what, God has given us His manna, His living manna, and we gripe and complain too. We see that they're telling Moses, in verse 5, we remembered the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And he says, "But now our soul is dried away, there is nothing at all besides this manna." And you hear the emphasis there, before our eyes. Now it says, "And the manna was a corydon seed, and the color thereof was the color of dillium, which is a yellowish white look to it." Sounds like a donut to me. And it says, And the people went about and gathered it and ground in the mills and beat it as the mortar. And it says, "And baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil." It says, "And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it." Can I tell you this? That like Christ, manna was within reach of all. You know, wherever you're at, if you're in prison, Jesus Christ can be there. If you're at war, if you're in a foxhole, never met an atheist in a foxhole. The first ones to cry out, "Oh God," is the atheist. He's there in the foxhole. It doesn't matter if you're in an accident, he is there with you. No price can be put upon the manna because it is free. God gave it free. It came down from heaven. And I want you to know, Jesus Christ, that bread of life, is also within the reach of all who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need to climb to heaven to bring it down. Jesus Christ came down to us. He is the living manna that Christ gave. The gospel, the word of God, is the word of salvation, is near to us. And whosoever will may receive it. Don't know what the Calvinists will do with that. They'll say that was a dispensation for Israel. They love to say that. But Lester Rowell says he claims all the Bible. He found he gets a lot more from God when he does that. Listen, Acts 2 verse 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 verse 13, "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved." We see here that this manna, like Christ, it was needed. Like Christ, it's a gift from God. like Christ. It satisfies the hunger like Christ. It's within reach of every person who wants it. And then let me say, like Christ, manna, it had to be personally received. In other words, you could not force feed somebody. They had to go get it, and they had to take it themselves. Verse 51 says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Look what he says. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. No one could eat the manna for his mother or for his father. No one could satisfy the hunger of his brother or his sister. Manna had to be taken into each individual life. And we see it's the same with salvation. Jesus Christ provides salvation, but the individual must receive that himself. Salvation must be accepted. It's received as a free gift. We're reminded in John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he powers to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Just as every person must breathe for himself if he is to live, so must every person believe and receive Jesus Christ to himself in order to be saved. You can't be saved because of your mother. You can't be saved because your father was a deacon or a preacher. You can't be saved because of some other person. It must be received of that person himself. And then lastly, let me say that like manna, or like Christ, manna was the only means of saving their lives. There was nothing else out in the wilderness. Man, I've been out in the wilderness, and I mean, it is just rock and sand and dirt. And I mean, it would be hard at times to even find shade. This wasn't a party of 10 or 12 out there. This is 3.5 million Jews out there. And we see here that like Christ, manna was the only means of salvation. Look down at verse 58. It says, this is that bread again, which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Understand, to reject the manna, this heavenly gift, was to die in the wilderness of salvation. And to reject the Lord Jesus Christ is to die in the wilderness of your sins and iniquities and transgressions. There's no alternative but to eat the manna or die. And there's no alternative. You can't be baptized into heaven. You cannot join any church, not this church or any church, and get into heaven. You can't do your good works, your humanitarian works, and clothe people and house people and feed the hungry and get to heaven. You can't do these good works, but I want you to know there are no alternatives, that Jesus Christ is the only way. In Acts 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. In verse 58, once again, he says, this is that bread which came down from heaven. He said, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, would you please stand and let me make this statement and I'll be finished. As we stand together, this world is our wilderness. And we will all perish in it unless we receive the gift that came down from God, which is Jesus Christ, our living manna. Have you received him? Has there been a time that you received him? God has put on my heart to be more gospel preaching. I think we can preach on the home and the marriage relationship and include the gospel. We ought to. But the last two or three Sunday mornings, if you notice, it's been pure gospel. I think there are people who think they have the manna and something else. But there is nothing else. It's just the manna. That's all it is. And I think there are people who reach a point of great confidence, especially in a church like ours, but they really haven't got that personal relationship with God. And if they were to perish or to die, they would perish. Because they really have not. They've strived to be good. They've strived to be obedient. They want to be approved. And they have a general desire to please others. But they don't have that real relationship. In the wilderness, the only thing that satisfied and caused them to survive was the manna. And Jesus Christ is our living manna. And God's people said, amen. Father, help us today. Do we have children and do we have young people and teenagers and young adults and young couples and married people and perhaps people who are watching live stream, perhaps people who are striving to please and want to be well thought of. But when it comes down to it, in this wilderness, in this world of wilderness, they're going to perish because they've never received the free gift that's come down from heaven, the living manna, Jesus Christ. Help us today. Then, Lord, those of us who have been saved, let us rejoice. Let us not be a grumbling, griping group of people for that which you have provided. Let us not look over at someone else's plate and wish we had the leeks and the fish that we used to have freely. But let us be satisfied with the manna of the gift from above. For Lord, you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. Bless our invitation. Work in the hearts of people. May we freely come today and exercise the great privilege of prayer at this altar. May we freely come today, rejoicing in the manna from heaven, our Savior Jesus Christ. In thy name I pray. As God speaks to you, you come now.